Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL, but you guys keep sending in your various most memorable waits.
Yeah, send them in.
I gotta try and do my best about getting some of these in. Y'all are having a blast. Somebody said back after Desert Storm, waited hours to get into a tent that was acting as a store. After all that time, when they got in, sold out of almost everything.
Oh, my goodness.
That's tough.
We were just talking about that, Vicky.
Yeah.
They said they got cans of snuff, and they've been dipping ever since. So, like, not only did you have to wait, they ain't have much, and they gave you a bad habit. Like, that's
you
that's
got addicted
sick.
To something.
That's sick, bro. Yeah.
Gave you an addiction.
And then from the 832, this I thankfully don't know this firsthand, but they said there is no longer of a wait than when you were waiting to get processed out of the county jail. Longest wait of my life. Yeah,
man. Sound like it.
Yeah, I bet.
That's tough.
I never been through it, but I know some folks, some close friends that's been through it.
And don't go to jail before a holiday, man.
Don't do it.
Not on a Friday.
Because a lot of people get in trouble around the 4th of July, which is coming up.
Oh, it's coming
and they
up.
Not coming back till Monday.
To Tuesday.
Tuesday.
You be in there for 4 days. Yep.
Off of something that you probably should just spend a night.
Over something stupid, yep.
Right. So
you would have been out in a couple hours.
100%. So that's Adidas. Nice as a
act right, people. Just act right.
My personality that I like a lot. He loved to say on a Friday, avoid the bookings because you get hemmed up on a Friday.
It's a wrap.
It's over.
Seen a judge till Monday, baby.
Your whole weekend gone, man.
And now you get out of work or you get out of jail, you might be able to go straight to work or you might miss a day. Like there's a lot of things.
Plus, you don't want to be in there for no 3 days, man.
Or you work weekends. You might not have a job no more.
That is 100%. Yeah. Just off some nonsense. Just all some nonsense. How do we get here? Anyways.
Who knows?
Let's go.
That's the longest wait.
It is a long wait. It is indeed. All right, let's go around the NFL where it's interesting. We have continued to be in this space where the pass rushers are out here trying to get their money. And we've talked a lot about the Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals in part because I think the Bengals are a nonsense organization. That does not handle their money right.
Cheap.
They act like some broke boys.
Cheap.
Very much cheap. And I like making fun of them for that. Should I? I don't know.
They've always been like that for the most part.
That's right.
Always.
Correct.
Always.
I still think back to, what was it, TJ? Was it TJ Houshmandzadeh talking about the fact that they had to, like, reuse jock straps and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like, that's, I believe it might have been him, yeah.
Yeah, that is not an organization that I hold up as a bastion of practice.
They are not.
But so we've talked a lot about the Trey Hendrickson as well as Shamar Stewart out there. But we haven't talked as much about T.J. Watt with the Steelers. And it becomes more interesting because they did that interesting little weird trade that they did where they kind of just – by the way, I don't think we acknowledged this yesterday. A trade where you had three All-Pros moving teams, Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
Micah Fitzpatrick.
Oh,
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of really. Typically, that doesn't happen. We mentioned it in the moment, like a player for player trade.
But we didn't really get into the meat of it.
Technically, that's like a blockbuster trade.
And it's weird because, like, teams typically don't do that. If you have an all pro caliber player, why get another all pro caliber player in the same position? It feels like a weird swap that kind of wastes time, like the Minka for Jalen Ramsey. But that's neither here nor there. What it does point to is clearly the Steelers are trying to do some level of making their team better. They add Jonnu Smith, as a tight end. But they still have not addressed what is probably the most important part of their defense in T.J. Watt, that pressure that it's applied. And it's gotten to a point now where Adam Schefter reported yesterday that in recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for T.J. Watt. He skipped mini camps with them, but Pittsburgh hasn't shown a willingness to deal him. However, he's still unhappy with his contract situation. So this is a weird impasse. So maybe you could continue to see with him being unhappy, does it maybe with the timeline continue to push forward, especially if he's willing to actually hold out?
Yeah.
Does this put pressure on the Steelers actually having to trade him? And is that beneficial at all for them, a team that is trying to be some level of good, but also not paying their guy, T.J. Watt, who has consistently been good, and I think there's a reason to expect him to continue to be good over the lifetime of whatever deal you give him?
I can't see how this would be good in any way for the Steelers to actually trade T.J. Watt. Go ahead and figure it out. Get that man his money. And honestly, I believe that they will do it. But you know how sometimes these teams, they want to drag things out. It make guys wait until the last minute to get paid. Don't know why they do it. It just doesn't seem. It seems counterproductive to me.
It's another reason I don't either. To some degree, like in some instances, you're talking about maybe shaving off, relative pennies.
Yeah.
on a deal. And I think that this is another point and reason to have an appreciation for the way that the Texans have situated their MO, where they're like, winning this individual negotiation probably isn't the most important thing. Like, winning this particular deal. Yeah. Making sure that your players are happy with the deals that they have, that they're comfortable when they come to work, that they feel good about the organization. Is that worth the extra million, 2 million in certain circumstances or what have you, whatever the number
actually is? For some players, yes, it is.
And it feels like TJ Watt would be that player.
You're more than likely the best player on your team, just overall, just by production. Am I wrong about that? He's been the best Steeler for a number of years now.
I largely agree. And so, a huge facet of that defense that has been carrying them, because it ain't been the offense that's been making that thing work.
No.
I'm kind of curious. Like, I wonder why they're doing this. And I feel like this whole offseason was not really a Steelers type of offseason that they've been doing for years.
Just look at the Aaron Rodgers saga.
Yeah, it just seemed like they loading up on these players that they never would have did this for. And it seemed like TJ Watt would be the safest thing to make sure he's happy.
Have they bent themselves way far out of the Steelers' MO? Because the Steelers used to have a very particular MO, which is, you know,
yeah.
And maybe this is some of what's happening here, is that they're still trying to maintain it without actually figuring out what the utility is. But they used to be that the Steelers don't overpay, right? Like,
never overpay.
We'll
get
to a place.
They never overdraft. They never trade up. They never did that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And now you trade for Jalen Ramsey. You trading for DK Metcalf. It seemed like they trading for a lot of type of players that they never would have traded for
in the past.
Yeah.
And it just seems like they're trying to fit. It's almost like they're grasping the straws. They're trying to figure out something to get back over the hump, because it's not like they've been a horrible team, but they've been right in the middle there.
But it's
I don't want to say mediocre, because they've been better than mediocre, but they just haven't been good enough to get over the hump of getting out of the first round.
I wonder if their GM is kind of feeling a little pressure now. This seemed very Tennessee-ish, where they just kind of went out in the offseason and paid everybody this money. It's like, why are you paying all these people this money for you not to be good the next year?
Yeah.
713. Don't use my words against me. Teams wait to pay players for the same reason Reggie waits to pay his rent. Tomorrow ain't promising he's going to take them. All right. I don't like it when people use my words.
Hey, you set yourself up for that one.
I know I did.
You really set yourself up for that.
I can't be mad at anyone else, but I can't be mad at myself, and that's where I am in this moment. No, but yeah, I it's weird because the Steelers, again, it feels like they, at least when they had an MO, they stuck to their MO, and that was the plan, and it worked, right?
That's what you appreciate about the Steelers,
right,
too. They saying, we not about to give you all of this. This is the Steelers' way.
They didn't bend.
But they've never been.
It feels like they're in a weird place where they haven't stuck closely to an MO, but they're also not abandoning an MO or building a new one. They're just in this weird nebulous place where they're doing weird stuff.
Maybe they're just tweaking the MO. I don't know.
I don't know if that works.
I don't know how that works.
We'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
But don't do it with your best player. I'm sorry. Just not with your best guy.
I wouldn't, especially in a place where you've already acquiesced to Aaron Rodgers and let him hold you over a barrel for an entire offseason to some degree. So
that part.
Yeah. Some other things that are happening around the NFL, something that's happening right this moment. Darren Waller, the tight end that I think was last played for the New York Giants. He is unretiring after he retired. I don't know that he retired in order to pursue a music career, but he did do a little music. It seemed like it was related to his breakup with his fiance. I don't know. Did they get married?
I can't recall.
Kelsey Plum, who was a WNBA player.
Yeah.
But maybe he was just in a time in his life, and understandable for that dude in particular. He has had times in his life, right, with substance abuse and stuff.
He's gone through it.
But it seems like he wants to come back to football. I believe that the Giants still have his rights. I don't think they renounced them yet.
I thought he was going to Miami. I thought he unretired to get sent to Miami or something.
I'll have to check on that. But I do know that Darren Waller is seemingly unretiring, and the Dolphins trade for him. So that is how they're deciding to make up for the Jonnu Smith trade. Thank you. I appreciate you, Figgy. Best of luck to you. The Dolphins also seem like a team that, after being an interesting team, having a lot of young talent, and just being fast, they're in this place where I don't think they're going to be good this year.
I don't think they have a path to it.
Yeah.
There's no direction, it feels like.
No.
It doesn't feel like a lot of direction there in Miami. I mean, wasn't Tyreek Hill talking about he wanted out right after the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of went back on that, and Then he's trying to get back into the good graces, it seems like, with the team and with the fans. Like, it's just a lot going on in Miami.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Is it fair to say Mike McDaniel is on the hot seat this year?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He will be.
100%. I think you can already kind of tell his tone kind of changing a little bit.
He hasn't done enough to not be.
No. And, I mean, he's put together some good offenses, but I think ultimately you are a head coach as opposed to an offensive coordinator, even though you're a play caller. And as a head coach, his teams have underperformed. And they've underperformed in a very particular way, which is they have not looked like they've been built for playoff football.
They haven't been, really.
And so
they just haven't been.
Hey, being a good regular season team is cool. If you can't get out here and play playoff football, like, that is the way that our league is built, is for you to be able to go.
Got to win in the postseason.
They haven't won a postseason game since, what, 2000?
Goodness gracious.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was longer than that, honestly.
Wouldn't let
it's
that happen
been
to me,
a long
though.
Time.
Yeah, I want to say Dante Culpepper was playing for him, I think.
That's a name from the past right there, Dante Culpepper.
Although,
man,
would you be plotting on the McDaniels downfall in this way where
– come in, that's the OC.
Offense goes well. Nick Cayley goes and gets a head coach job, and all of a sudden now McDaniel out here looking for a job.
Bring him in.
I'm 100% down with that.
You want to come on down to coach – Coach C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, you want that?
I'm 100% down with that.
We haven't even gotten into this. We haven't even gotten to training camp this year, and I'm
no,
already
and you're already trying to.
We talk about 2026.
You're already trying to get another. We just got a new offensive coordinator to Houston.
But you
got
to have – see, this is the thing. This is what we're talking about with the Steelers. They don't have a plan. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying, brother?
You got a plan.
You got to open your third eye, brother. I'm planning on things going so well
that
Nick Cayley – gets going go somewhere
that he moves on,
you know what I mean, and so I gotta have contingencies, and one of those contingencies is maybe Mike McDaniel. Could you
so no? Basically the Texans are gonna be number one offense this year. They're gonna go 14-3, and
I like what you're talking about.
That's about how it's gonna happen.
I like what you're doing right now
to be that good for him to get a head coaching job that fast,
and I would like that to be the case.
to get Mike McDaniel in.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right. I mean, it doesn't happen.
Your world.
If there's another office coordinator, cool, but yeah. Some other things around the NFL, we mentioned this. We're in an interesting place looking at signings for rookies because we're getting near camp. We're 3 weeks out from camp getting started.
Roughly, yeah, about 3 weeks.
It is 3 weeks. Yeah. 3 weeks, 21 more days
22nd,
for
right.
players to report.
Yeah.
For most teams,
for
including
the Texans.
Yeah. And so we're 3 weeks out, and there is a number of second round picks that remain unsigned.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of space, and it seems like that space is particular. Because second round picks seem to be a battleground for a labor kind of dispute,
yeah.
Which is can second round picks get fully guaranteed contract?
Yeah.
And of course, the Texans might have helped spark this in signing Jaden Higgins to a fully guaranteed contract, and then after him, what is it? Schlesinger. I don't remember what his first name is, but he is a Browns linebacker drafted out of UCLA. He also
gets a fully guaranteed
contract. And I believe that there haven't been any other second rounders signed. Maybe
the other 30 are still unsigned.
But the other 30 are still unsigned, including Arianti Arcery, who is a second round pick for the Texans. And I'm wondering, do you believe that this is all around fully guaranteed contracts, or is this just kind of a weird anomaly? Because specifically the Texans having another second round pick that they would need to sign would point me to the idea you felt comfortable signing Higgins guaranteed. Although understanding he is pretty much the expectation is he's a starter. So I can understand why they go, all right, let's just go ahead and Arianti Arcery, maybe not a starter this year, but it does feel like they have high hopes for him and high expectations.
Yeah.
It feel like as a Texans team, at the very least, not talking about the rest of the league, you feel comfortable going, all right, if we gave him a fully guaranteed, we could probably give him a fully guaranteed. Are you in your mindset, do you think that this anomaly, or maybe it's not an anomaly, this weirdness of all these second-round picks not being signed is about fully guaranteed contracts?
It's hard to call it an anomaly when it's so many players.
Right.
It's 30 guys. Now, for the fact that you point out Arcery and Higgins, as far as the Texans go, those two second-round picks, it is kind of weird that the Texans wouldn't go ahead and give both. Now, maybe you want to give one a little less than the other, but there's no slotting for the second-round picks, right, like the first round, right?
When it comes to contracts?
Yeah, when it comes to because the first round picks, they're all slotted specifically. So I don't think that goes the way for the rest of the round. So, yeah, it's weird. I mean, I would have to lean toward it being, you know, more so about the fully guaranteed contracts with all these second round picks, because that's just Figgy, wouldn't you agree? That's one hell of an anomaly to have 30 players just all suddenly coincidentally, like there's no. That's too big of a coincidence for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seemed, yeah, I really don't understand it, to be honest. I'm not sure if they all trying to get that guarantee.
Which, it has to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably it. And I want it kind of got me thinking, why Nick Caserio decide to pay him?
They won.
All, I wonder if they just so confident in him and what he can be. That way they just trying to get in on it early because they know maybe he going to be a beast. They got that much confidence in him.
Yeah, we just talked about Nick Caserio seeming like, not seeming, his philosophy of we don't need to like win the deal. We can afford to, you know, be a little, you know, be a little bit more giving, I guess, for lack of a better term, in our negotiations.
Flexible. Be flexible.
Flexible is a good word to use. Thank you. I appreciate that. In order to get a deal that is advantageous for both sides but still works, and you have an expectation, as you mentioned, of him factoring in. I just don't understand how that would vary all that differently from Ursary. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Apparently, maybe I missed this, Seth, you know, on his YouTube page kind of did a deep dive into why this is happening. So I might need to go check that out myself because Seth is always very good on that. But an interesting thing that's happening nonetheless as we continue to barrel towards training camp and the 2025 NFL season.
It's around the corner.
Very much so. Can't wait to get there. Although, look, we got fun things happening all over Houston that continue to catch our attention, including the Rockets putting together a team that looks like they're really going to contend in the ways that we were hoping when we first figured that, well, one, that they, you know, were second round or number two, rather, pick, or not number two pick,
seed.
Rather, second seed, thank you, in the West. And then they add KD. But now they've added Dorian Finney-Smith, which adds to a wing room that's getting kind of robust, which leads me to this question.
It's crowded.
Crowded is a word you could use, but I feel like it's
not
good.
In a bad way. I'm not saying the bad crowded.
Fair enough. What is the best position group in Houston sports now? Because this wing group is now, raising the question. 713-572-4610. What do you think the best position group is in Houston? We'll talk about it next. Figure, you know, anytime that I get a little Ninth Wonder production, it very much warms my soul. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula, Chris Partee in for the OG John Lopez, who is on vacation all week long. Of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos making it sound good. I was about to ask a question that is not for this segment. Who, or rather, what is the best position group in all of Houston sports at this point? 713-572-4610. Because the Rockets have made a case for a particular portion of this. Now, of course, I'm also doing the thing where in basketball, there aren't really position groups per se. Like sometimes, and you can divide them up differently. Like sometimes you go front court, back court, or posts, guards, wings. And then since it's, I'm going to do that. Because if you start putting together the wings for the Rockets now, since seeing as obviously they traded away Dylan Brooks, who was a wing before, and he goes out, but now you bring in Dorian Finney-Smith to these guys. I mean, you look at the wings that this team has, and it's Dorian Finney-Smith, it's Amen Thompson, it's, I guess, if you want to put Jabari in here as a wing, I think he probably qualifies more as that than a big, but maybe you could kind of let that swing if you want to. Tari Eason falls into that space. Who else do you have in there? Kevin Durant.
Half the team is a wing now.
It is very wing heavy. And they're not small ones either.
No. We're talking about 6'7", 6'8", and up.
Big wings.
Timmy Chan wings.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They, the very big.
With ones, the feathers on it.
The ones that make you go, are they using steroids in these chickens? Like that kind of wings is what we're talking
wings
about.
Wings like this, arm wing.
Yeah. And so they have a pretty damn good wing room right now. With incredible defensive potential all the way up and down it as well, because we talked about it. Like dudes who are lockdown defenders, Amen Thompson, you know, obviously Dorian Finney-Smith. Jabari Smith Jr. has very good defense within him. Tari Eason is a lockdown defender.
Yes.
Kevin Durant is not bad, especially if you look at some advanced statistics.
He's like, better than he gets credit for.
Much better.
You don't really hear about he's such a great scorer. No one talks about his defense.
Yeah, that definitely. It takes more precedence when you're talking about them, about him rather.
Yeah.
But there's statistics that you could point to, isolation points per possession that are, you know, actually pretty good for him and really a lot of this team. And so you go through and you go, this is a really talented, and now you have some shooting and some scoring within that wing room. Like, it's a really good wing room, but where does it land as a position group? Because there's some really good ones. When I asked the question what was the first one that came to mind? Like the first thing that popped into mind for you as best position group in Houston sports?
I mean, if I go right now, even with all the injuries, probably the Astros pitchers.
Which
now,
pitchers? Because I can go bullpen. This out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I put bullpen down, and I'm really tempted to go with the Rockets' wings, but we haven't seen this new, I guess, new formation of this group yet.
Sure.
So that would be projecting almost.
Fair enough.
We haven't seen it yet. So I got to go. Yeah, I got to go with the bullpen, the Astros bullpen.
That was definitely when I thought of the Astros. Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of was, and it's going to be the pitching. It was either the starting rotation or the bullpen.
Or either or.
The thing that took me away from the starting rotation was you have some guys that are nails every time they come up. And you've gotten really good performances, but the injuries have continued to make me go,
yeah,
what do I do? And then also I compare that to the ways that the bullpen has just been locked down, even in instances where the starters maybe haven't as much. And so I'm leaning towards the pen, but both of those are great answers.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are the things that are carrying you to this level of contention, this level of greatness for the Astros right now. And it's been a little while since I checked, which I feel bad about. I should have checked it in this moment. But the bullpen has one of the best ERAs in all of baseball bullpen.
Not just the American League, but just the entire league.
And so, yeah, you got to give them credit, which, of course, you look at Hader has been, you know, perfect in his save opportunities. Yeah. Abreu has been nails for the most of the situations. Then you start going to, like, Okert and Sousa and all these guys that have stepped in ways that, I don't know, their name prior would not have told me. But they've all really carried more than their weight in that space. So I think that probably where I go if I go Astros.
Number one, yeah.
Rockets is obviously, I think, the wings. Unless you're talking about you have centers, but I don't think they are dominant centers.
No.
I think that they're you have a couple like three really capable centers.
Yeah.
In which, I mean, that is real disrespectful to Alperen Şengün. Two really capable centers, and then Alperen Şengün, who was an ascending player and an all-star, right?
I mean, like I said, he was an all-star last year. I mean, he's their guy right now as far as centers go, for sure.
Where do you go on the Texans? Because I feel like there's a couple of places that you can go, and I see someone saying if Mixon's healthy, then the running back class.
I was thinking the running back room, but it just depends on health, honestly.
And production. I know that I'm usually out here.
Well, if Mixon's healthy, he's going to produce.
Yes, he is.
He's going to produce if he's healthy, so I don't think that's even a question.
But I might be on an island I've been maintaining a little bit of skepticism on what kind of production you get from Nick Chubb.
I think everybody is, because you don't know what he's going to look like after another bad injury.
And I am probably a little more skeptical, although some people are like, well, second year off the ACL should be better. I'm like, I don't know that you can take that because he's had all those carries.
Yeah.
He's had all those yards on him.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I very much would like to be wrong and just see a thunder and lightning, although a thunder and a kind of less thunderous thunder. Is that kind of how it goes with Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb? That's what I'm hoping for. But
yeah, more thunder and thunder than necessarily light.
Yeah. But Joe Mixon ain't slow, though.
No, not slow. Definitely not slow.
Don't get me wrong. So, like, I think that would be good. I don't know that I put you talk about wide receivers. Nico is carrying a lot. Christian Kirk would be helpful.
Yeah.
But, again, we're doing some projection.
We don't
know
yet, and then you got the two rookies. We don't know exactly what we're going to get.
That would be the projection. Plus,
there's expectation.
The Kaley offense. I think it's got to be on the defensive side. And there's a couple of places that I was looking at. Someone texted in and said the defensive line. And I was like, do we separate out defensive line from edge rushers? Because in some ways, the tackles that have been good, and we'll put it all together. I think the tackles have been good, especially getting upfield and getting pressure. In rewatching, I have been, and of course, I'm early on in the season before like things really stabilized and this defense became really, really good.
Yeah.
I've been really focused a lot more on, the ability to stop the run.
On the trenches.
Yeah, when it comes to the trenches, it was a little bit less good than I remembered early on in the season. But of course, that probably means that it got better as the season went along.
I believe it did. I think we talked about it yesterday. Yeah. They definitely got better as the season went along.
So your edge rushers there are, I mean, probably the best tandem in the league.
Yeah.
I think my answer...
Are we grouping edge rushers just as one? Because sometimes they can be an outside linebacker or a defensive end, so you kind of...
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? Like, just by trade, I guess.
No, I think we'll put the entire D-line together, and they've got... And it's not just the, you know, Will and Daniil. Then you got Derek Barnett coming in. You got all sorts of guys filtering in as well. I still think that they are second as on the defense and on the Texas team, and maybe in all of this question, I think secondary wins this handoff.
I was thinking secondary.
Easily, in fact.
I was going to ask you if we're going to just group the secondary all together or just corners. So, yes, I would say secondary.
I think
that's where I would go.
I think the secondary.
I think that's the best, the biggest strength, I guess.
I think the secondary is the best in all of Houston. Best position group. Like this.
Oh, the best position.
I think the secondary is
okay.
Right. Obviously, you have probably the best player on the football team in Derek Stingley Jr., all-pro cornerback that you have. Kamari Lassiter was no joke to throw at as a rookie. And not just like no joke as in he kept the completions low, he kept the passer rating low towards him. He took the ball away in a way that you would not reasonably expect a dude with his particular foot speed to do. Then you add on top of that, right, the safeties that you have playing. Jalen Petrie is uniquely situated for the role that he has. His reaction time is incredible. And I'll talk more about that at noon. But then the safeties, what you did this offseason with your safeties, where Kalen Bullock gets a year older as a ball hawk taking the football away, but also gets to work alongside C.J. Gardner-Johnson, a dude who I think he fits this defense more, this D'Amico Ryan's defense, than any other acquisition that you could have gotten.
Huge veteran pickup right there. Like, it just, yeah. And now that I'm looking at it here, like looking at it on paper and, you know, hearing you talk about it, yeah, you might be right about it.
Where do you throw football against the secondary where you throw this football against the secondary where you feel comfortable and you don't have a threat of taking the ball away?
If they get consistent pressure on quarterbacks, it's going to be tough for other teams. It is going to be tough because, for one, you're not going to have a long time to get rid of the ball. And when you do, like you just said, where do you go? Who do you go after? It's going to be tough for opposing offenses to pass against this team if they're getting consistent pressure.
Yeah, and what's funny is we know that in the defense, the back is linked to the front is linked to the back. Yeah. Right? There's a symbiotic relationship there. But I think oftentimes we think about the front to the back, which is get pressure, and that creates that helps the secondary. This secondary can cover their asses off.
Yeah, but you still don't want your secondary to have to cover for 5 seconds.
No,
you don't want them to cover forever.
But the thing about
you got to get some pressure.
This secondary is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
And we've seen it happen to the point where you get coverage sacks because these guys on the front end are unrelenting.
Yeah.
And the secondary can cover for that long.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes this team a top five, and that's really conservatively defense. Is the secondary is that good where they can capitalize on the front end getting pressure by getting takeaways, and then they can also create pressure and create sacks by getting cover. I 100% I think it is the secondary of this Texans team.
That's a great argument.
Now, if I had to separate, if we do the thing where we separate safeties and cornerbacks, do you think that changes the answer away from that defense or that particular place? Do you think it goes to the pass rush, or would you put it as the Astros pen or what have you?
If you're going to break up cornerbacks from safeties, then I'll probably stay with the Astros bullpen.
But if
you're going full secondary based on just what we have and what we saw last year and who they added in the offseason,
What a time it is. You just
talked me into that.
What a time it is, though, in Houston sports where you can look at every single team and be like, there's not only just like one position group that's really good in the league, right? Because, I mean, you're talking about a league top third at the very least, conservatively, with secondary, the pass rushing, bullpen, starting pitching. And I think that this Rockets wing group will be a top 10. Every major men's sport
on paper. It looks like this wing group is going to be just phenomenal.
What a time.
It does, man. Hey, Clutch City, man.
That's right. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including also Houston's still not going to get no love and expansion talk, huh? We'll do that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Atatula here with you alongside Chris Partee sitting in.
Yep.
For the man, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, as always with us. And you, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. A lot of things happening in the world of sports as it pertains to Houston. The Astros back in action after an off day on a Monday night. I hope you enjoyed your off day as well. I don't know if it felt like an off day to you. It definitely did to me up until I had to deal with that one thing. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But they're back in action. They are in Colorado on a little bit of a road trip. They got a three-game set out there. I believe it's a three-game set. Yeah, it is, because it started on Tuesday. Starts, rather, on a Tuesday, where your first-place Astros will take on a fifth place in the NL West. In fact, a woefully bad, a 19-win Colorado Rockies team. And Colton Gordon gets the first crack at him.
Yeah.
Colton Gordon, who has a 3-1 record, mind you. Again, one of the, as I lovably have called them, the Quad A guys. He gets an opportunity to get out here.
He's been all right, man.
He has. I'm very intrigued to see what it looks like in Colorado. Obviously, you play in Colorado, and at this point, you're not even playing against the Rockies. You're playing against altitude.
Yeah.
And so
that's about all they got going for them.
Yeah.
Literally.
Pretty much.
All they got.
For a team, especially like the Astros that have been very good, pitching and mitigating other teams' offenses. I don't know that the Rockies are so good that they'll be able to utilize that. However, it will be interesting to see for guys, especially, you know, as the series goes along, guys who maybe, you know, are trying to mitigate that, to see if they're able to continue to do that. Right. This is another stumbling block that I'm setting up to see. Is this the thing that gets the Astros pitching? And the answer is probably no, because
I don't think so.
They won't die. So. They refuse to. They are zombies of baseball, and I love it.
I mean, literally, this is one of those series where you really expect a sweep. You really do. Like, you're almost disappointed if you leave 2-1 from this series. This is a team that, you nailed it right on the head. The Rockies are miserable right now.
That is correct.
They are horrible. There's no reason why the Astros shouldn't be able to go in there and sweep this series.
And I hate doing that.
No reason at all, man.
That feels like every time that a broadcaster gets out here and they go, there's no way. And of course,
I'm not saying there's, I say
the powers that be.
I'm not saying there's no way. I'm just saying you feel like they should go in there. Now, I know there are some fans out there listening there saying, yeah, but.
Jinx.
I get it.
That's the thing. It's like, it feels like a jinx.
I get it.
It feels like the thing where we go,
I get it.
Yeah, no, this team's so bad that you should, and then you get hit over the head within two games, and somehow you manage to lose.
I don't see that happen. I mean, they'll probably end up, you know, taking the series 2-1, but you really should. Teams like the Rockies, you said 19 wins. They've got 19 wins
total
in 3 months.
We are halfway through the season.
We're halfway, and they got 19 wins.
That is correct.
You should be sweeping them. As a first place squad, you really should be sweeping.
Very much should.
I'm sorry, you just should.
So it's Colton Gordon tonight. 7:40 is when it starts. Obviously, you're out there in the mountains. First pitch local time, or first pitch here in God's country, God's time,
Central time.
8:40 out that way.
I don't know about that mountain stuff. 6:40.
It's funny because
it's all right. I've lived in so many time zones that, you know,
I don't have an excuse. I'm just my brain just doing stupid stuff.
The Eastern time zone keep throwing me off too.
Really?
Like just that one little hour, throw me off. Yeah. Because everything on TV go by Eastern.
That's true.
So you look at
the only time zone I haven't lived in.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
7 Central.
Yeah. So you you see 7 p.m. You like, okay, you get to 7. Oh, it's already off?
It's already been over an hour
already.
Damn,
I missed it.
So I missed the whole first half or the first half of the game, whatever it is.
It is fair, though, the people are mentioning. The Astros have seemed to have a little bit of a propensity to lose to bad teams, and it's not going to help that you're not going to have Jeremy Peña here. However, I will still lean on just what the reasonable expectation is with a team of this caliber. So Colton Gordon goes today. Tomorrow it'll be Hunter Brown. It'll be a Hunter Brown day.
There you go.
The one thing I'm hoping.
Doesn't that instill confidence? That
it does.
You got Hunter Brown coming up next?
It does.
Come on.
I'm not even worried about the win in that. For me, I'm invested in Hunter Brown Cy Young, and I don't want his ERA to at all take a hit
because
he's playing in Colorado. Like, I honestly, and maybe you could call me a suck for this, I would prefer if he had somehow missed, the rotation had somehow missed Colorado. So, like, the altitude would not factor at all.
Don't even put that energy
I'm
out
sorry,
there.
I'm sorry. It's what's happening in my brain.
Don't even put that energy
it's
out there.
It's happening in my brain.
Don't do that.
I apologize. I can't help it.
He's going to make his start tomorrow, and everything's going to be fine.
He's not going to give up any runs, and he's going to go 7 innings.
I ain't saying all that, but, I mean, you know, one run is
fine. I'm trying to put positivity out in the world now.
That's fine.
I'm trying to counteract the negativity that my brain had with a little bit of positivity.
Yeah, no missed starts, even if it's the Rockies.
I mean, I'm not saying missed start. I was saying I was hoping the rotation.
Oh, missed the rotation,
No.
Even
don't
that.
Miss no, I
even that.
Whoa.
Even that.
The way that the Astros and injuries have gone, I'm not asking for
that. That's why I'm saying.
I'm not
don't,
asking for
let's
none
not
of that.
Put that in. Don't put the energy out.
Somebody said, make McCullers start all the games versus the Rockies.
Make him start all. You just want his arm to fall off, don't you?
No. In fact, by the way, Lance McCullers Jr. is slated to be the first pitcher that you throw out there against the Dodgers when you get them.
Oh, man.
On the 4th of July.
On the 4th.
How many home runs Ohtani going to have?
Oh, man. Don't do that.
Don't do that. On the 4th of July, too? Don't do that.
About to be batting practice.
All right.
Is that in L.A.?
Yes.
It is in
L.A.
This is a road trip.
Yes,
batting practice.
Don't do that. Stop. Man. Stop. Speaking of batting practice, actually, thank you for that segue.
Right.
Dana Brown was asked yesterday about Yordan returning, and he said, quote, if things go well, it could be the next homestand.
God, here we go.
Haven't ruled out potentially flying him to L.A. at some point this weekend. That's an outside chance.
Yeah.
But that's very optimistic. I don't think he needs much more time. I just want to make sure he feels his timing is right and his bat speed is there and the feeling good with the hand, those three things will be the indicators to say, okay, let's go. So again, the indicators that Dana Brown himself, the general manager of the team, is setting. Feels his timing. Bat speed is there. Feeling good with the hand.
So what is that, another week? Another week and a half? Like, come on, dog. Like, give the people something more tangible than maybe soon, which is what I'm getting. Maybe soon. That's what that translates to me. Oh, he might be back soon. Might.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to have you call it, right? So the three situations that have been set up here, right, if we're talking about series. He said it's possible to fly him out to L.A. for the weekend. So there's the weekend series versus the Dodgers. Okay. There is the Monday to Wednesday series versus the Guardians here back home starting next week. And then there's the weekend series, not this weekend, but the following weekend versus the Rangers here at Daikin Park. If you had to pick one of those three series for when Yordan is back in the lineup, which would you select?
The third. Messing with these dudes, it's going to be the third. If it's going to be any of them. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm being very pessimistic right here, but just based on what I've seen from the Astros and how they deal with some of these injuries and these updates they give that don't really tell you anything, yeah, I'm going to go with the third.
Okay. All right, very good.
Excuse me?
Some other things that are popping. Yesterday, we got a little bit of announcement from the WNBA. Expansion continues. Three more expansion cities, and unfortunately, none of them is Houston.
Not Houston. I was surprised at that.
I was, too. So they're going to go, I believe, Detroit.
Philly.
And then Cleveland and then Philly in 2030. So yeah. I think it's 28, 29, 30 as their rollout there. I think I got that right. But ultimately, that'll get the league, the WNBA, to 16 teams. I think that puts off obviously it puts off the possibility of the Comets return
for at least they're going to be the Comets.
At least to the 2030 season, but I think even further because I think that the league probably doesn't need to try and expand too fast. I think getting to 16 is probably a place where they sit for a little while. So that puts
16 is a good round number.
I think so.
Good round number.
But that very much puts that would put the Houston area out of expansion for that. And that means that we lean more of our expansion love towards the possibility of the Arrows or whatever Houston hockey team we'd be there because that's also another front that we're still looking for potential expansion for Houston sports.
I could see it happening, just don't know when. I'm still kind of surprised that hadn't happened yet.
I mean, Houston is such a big metropolitan area. Why don't they love us?
Houston's a major city.
Why don't they want us?
I mean, Houston is a major market in this country. I don't.
Great sports town.
Yeah, I don't.
Why don't he want me, man?
On
some Will Smith stuff.
Will Smith.
The one thing I did say about like the hockey expansion though is that's not a giant building, Toyota Center, especially once you take away floor seating in order to have a rink.
Yeah.
I think that it would be reasonable facsimile. It would be probably like bottom five when it comes to maximum capacity of NHL team. I don't know if that's a part of the consideration. I have no idea. And I think hockey
operates.
I would think it would be. But I also imagine hockey operates just a little bit differently in that I don't know that you're necessarily doing the we need to have a million fans in the area. I think it's like we need to have probably 100,000 fans that consistently buy tickets. I think that's probably more of the way that, you know, hockey fandom operates. And I feel like you could probably get that here in Houston.
Think so?
Where you have consistently the 15 to 17,000 that are, you know,
that are going to show up.
That are always filling up the building. I think that's how that would work. So, That's what I would look. Somebody said, are we expansion team when it comes to the Comets? We should be an originator. Yeah, I know. It was an original team.
It was, but
of course,
with
the Bulls, you need an expansion.
Didn't they win like the first two or three championships?
They won a four-peat. What you mean?
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Nice.
My bad.
Okay.
My bad. Hey, dog, it's been a long time. That was the mid-90s.
It was actually the early aughts, to be completely honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Still been a while.
It has been a little while.
I'm getting old, man. It's been a while, man.
That is fair. But
Give me a break.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But that was some of the news that came down there. All right. That's what's popping here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Actually, I should have mentioned some of the signings that are continuing to happen.
More signings.
Free agency. Damian Lillard. He's released.
He's getting released, getting waived, getting cut.
Of course, that's the East, but that is a Damian Lillard who's not going to play this next year.
No.
But
another Achilles.
And he's not crazy old, but he's getting up there as a point guard. But I think that, you know, he could maybe go inside
32?
Somewhere.
32?
He can maybe go sign somewhere for a reasonable deal for not this upcoming season, but the season after.
Yeah, because he ain't going to play this year.
But the Bucks have stretch-waived him, and they have signed Miles Turner. So that's the team where I think that that might – the way that the Bucks are moving, it seems like they're trying to retain the services of Giannis.
But is that enough?
It's a good question.
I think they. Yeah. I think they're going to have to do a little more. I love Miles Turner, but they're going to have to do a little more to – make Giannis feel comfortable. Yeah.
According to Chris Haynes, I guess Giannis is not happy with them waving Damian Lillard.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that opens up the possibility that he...
I'm saying. But gotta do a little more.
That ain't got nothing to do with us, right? Like that.
Ain't got nothing to do with nobody down here.
We're very much out of that space. I just want to make sure we're all on the same
page. Nobody got nothing to do with nothing down here.
Ain't got nothing to do with us, right?
Hey, we just watching the car accident.
Okay, cool.
Much.
I just want
to... A car crash.
The way that could have something to do with us is if you have another star player move to the West. That would be the way that it would have something to do with us.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more
about
that.
San Antonio?
Don't do that. I don't like that. I don't like what you're doing there. I'm going to go to break before
you...
Hey,
we good, man. We the favorites right now, man. We good.
How you just going to drop that turd on me and then just be like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Would that scare you?
It's okay.
You got Reggie worried in here, man.
Don't do that. And
I think that was going to scare you a little bit, man. It's scary. Like, we good.
He's shook now.
Coming up next in the loop on Sports Radio 610, I have been doing my 2024 rewatch of the Texans season, and that I have come to week 5 versus Buffalo. Let's go through what I felt was a very fun matchup against one of the best teams in the AFC. We'll talk about it next.